On a Monday, the eve of Election Day, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour with the chairs of the parties in Wisconsin. They each get a half, starting with the Democrats. The Wisconsin Democratic Party is pouring money into campaigns like never before. TV and digital ads, mailers, phone banks, text banks. You may have noticed planes flying over Milwaukee with banners. And then there's the Hollywood cast reunion virtual events, from Seinfeld to Veep to the reading of The Princess Bride, reportedly raising more than $4 million for the party. What questions do you have about how campaigns have been run? What's been effective? Are you active in local party politics? What would you like to share with state party leaders? We're at 800-642-1234. Ben Wickler is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
So good to be back with you, Kate.
Well, in these final hours, final days, what is your messaging to voters? What is it like in these final hours?
My message to anyone who doesn't want four more years of Donald Trump and this chaotic, disastrous, failed response to coronavirus is that this is the moment not only to vote, but to recruit every friend and family member to vote, to spend time on our virtual phone banks and texting, to use the Vote Joe app to, you know, see which of your friends might need an extra reminder. This is the moment to not waste a minute, pull out every stop, because when polls close at 8 p.m., the die will be cast. And we want to go to that moment with no regrets about having done everything we could do.
You had told Vanity Fair recently that you have phone banks going six nights a week and recruiting poll workers. Is that still the case?
At this point, it looks like there's poll workers all over the state. There's poll observers all over the state. We have folks who've been observing early vote across the state to make sure that everyone is able to cast their votes. And the thing that I'm really pleased about is that compared to the spring, really compared to any election I can think of, there are so many strong safeguards in place. There are so many dedicated local clerks there. I think we're going to have an extraordinarily smooth election. And, you know, that's contrary to a lot of stuff that Trump keeps tweeting about, talking about. This is a moment when anyone who feels called to exercise their civic duty should go for it.
What is your presence at polling places around the state? What is the goal for these people stationed at polling sites?
So the first thing is having enough poll workers to keep precincts open and having backup poll workers. And that's something that Democrats, Republicans, civic organizations, cities and municipalities themselves have all focused on, because this spring, so many poll workers wound up having to cancel because of the concerns about coronavirus that many polling locations closed. As we go into tomorrow, we're going to have tons and tons of precincts open. And that is a major, major step forward. The second thing is having poll observers. And poll observers, you know, it is their job is to monitor what's happening and make sure that it is functioning fairly and freely and smoothly. I want to be really clear. Poll observers, their job is not to interact with voters. And, you know, intimidating a voter, that is a felony. So our poll observers are there to make sure that no one is messing with anything and make sure that everyone's having a positive experience and flagging any concerns that should arise. It's sort of like, you know, sunlight's the best disinfectant. If you have lots of folks who are watching the process, everyone does their best job. And I know Democratic poll observers are going to be at precincts all over the state to ensure that things work the way that they're supposed to. In Wisconsin, you can same-day register. You can, you know, bring your proof of residence and your voter ID to the polls. And anybody who's eligible to vote should be able to go and cast their ballot tomorrow on Election Day.
Talking with Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We're checking in with the Democratic and Republican Party chairs in our state ahead of Election Day, taking your questions as well. What do you want to know about the positions, the priorities, and how how they've been soliciting your vote during this election cycle? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ben, in light of hackers stealing more than $2 million from the Republican Party coffers, have you had hacking attempts on your infrastructure?
There are constant hacking attempts on both parties, on, you know, any significant public institution in America, and private companies as well. This is just the world that we live in now, and it's, you know, I deeply wish that it were otherwise. I think that as we look at this year, there's so many things that have gone sideways and upside down and backwards. It has been a year of roller coaster breaking news events of other shoes dropping every other day. And I really, one thing I think about with this election is it's kind of a had enough election. Have you had enough of this chaos? Do you want to keep having breaking news alerts about political disasters going on? Or do you want a president who doesn't have to make it about himself every second of the day? I'm excited, and I can sort of feel the wind and the energy of people working so hard to elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And then I'm ready for swearing in a president who's bringing a little less drama to the country every day of the year.
Well, when you say another shoe drops each day, you know, election procedures have been heavily litigated in the courts in recent months, ping-ponging back and forth. What support is your party making available to voters who need accurate information?
So we have a voter protection hotline. You can call, anyone can call at any time, 608-DEM-3232. That's 608-336-3232. And that number is fully staffed so that we get back to 100% of folks who call in with issues. We can provide legal support. We can provide technical support. Our goal is to help everybody cast their ballots freely and fairly and enthusiastically in any way that they see fit, dropping off their absentee ballot at a drop box or their clerk's office, same day registering and voting tomorrow on Election Day. And we're also doing a ton of, I kind of think of it as tech support for democracy with our outreach, with calls, huge virtual phone banks, text banks, friend banks, which is where you contact people that you know using the Vote Joe app, and then also through digital ads and through mailers and through TV ads that are just about how do you vote. It is a moment when so many people who've never voted before are voting, and when people who have voted before are voting in a different way because of this pandemic, because we still have, you know, more than 100,000 people with absentee ballots that they haven't turned in yet. Those ballots have got to come in on Election Day for them to be counted. And so this is, you know, you can turn them in now. The best time is right now. The second best time is tomorrow morning. This is a kind of drive to the finish, and we want to make sure that we remind and encourage people across the state to cast their ballots and then be ready if they encounter any challenge to help them resolve it.
You mentioned legal support. If the results are challenged or the election becomes a legal matter, does the Democratic Party of Wisconsin have a legal strategy for any of those scenarios?
You know, we are mapping out every possible thing that we can think of and things that other people can think of that could happen, because things keep happening. It's very much 2020. And from our perspective, being ready for anything allows us to be surprised by nothing. So whether it's, you know, legal quandaries or crazy weather, we want to go into the next few days with a plan and be ready to respond to situations as they resolve. The most important thing to avoid a protracted legal battle or any other kind of scenario is having a decisive win for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And so, our number one focus is to support every voter who doesn't want four more years of this kind of chaos to get their ballots cast.
We're spending the hour with the party chairs on the State Capitol Report. Ben Wickler there heads up the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So what questions do you have for the leaders of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party in Wisconsin? We'll talk with them in the second half of the hour. What do you want to know about priorities or positions? What do you think of the fundraising tactics this election cycle? What speaks to you? What turns you off? It's 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Ben Wickler. More State Cap on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kedar Chirkan. Thanks for being here. We have the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin in this half hour. We'll talk with the state Republican Party chair in the second half. Democratic Chair Ben Wickler characterized this election as being on a roller coaster in the middle of an earthquake. So how does it feel for you to be a voter in a battleground state? Maybe you've helped out get out the vote efforts or are active in party politics. What have you noticed in this campaign? How do you want Democrats or Republicans to spend the final hours before Election Day? Join in 800-642-1234. And Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in a call now. Steve is joining us from Sun Prairie this morning. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have a question for the guest. You know, for the past probably 10 years, but recently in the past year, there's been so much hatred that's been pushed by the Democratic Party about white supremacy, racism, sexism, and everything that's absolutely divided us as a country. What specifically is the Democratic Party going to do to bring us back together? And please don't blame Trump. What are you guys going to do to stop your identity politics?
So, you know, really looking there, too, at the political divide, the politicization of politics. Ben?
The scourge of racism and systemic racism in our country and of sexism and of politicians using those things to divide us as a nation and as a state has been a tragedy and a means to power, I would argue, for the Republican Party. I think the caller was arguing that by calling out those things or opposing those things, that divides people. I think my fundamental response would be that Joe Biden is running as a Democrat, as he says, and will govern as an American president for everyone. And we really need leaders who are looking out for the public interest, for people of all colors and creeds, of all genders, whether you're white or black or Latino or a member of a tribal nation or Hmong in Wisconsin, you want food that you can eat and you want safety in your community, in your home, and you want your state government to be looking out for you. And you want the same things. And I think governing from that perspective, as opposed to a dividing voter strategy, is the fundamental test of any public servant.
Yeah, but we're in this really polarized state, and there's some worrisome reports about possible violence tomorrow. What it will Democrats do about that on Election Day and in the future?
I mean, a fundamental commitment to public safety has to be at the heart of any political party, of anyone who believes in democracy, that we should stay safe and inclusive of everyone in our communities. And when we look tomorrow, our state government, each precinct has a chief inspector who's there to make sure that everyone is safe and that everyone is able to proceed without any kind of intimidation or interference. I think that there are militia people who are trying to scare people about what might happen. And that is a way of trying to suppress your vote. And to know that there is a whole system in place to respond rapidly to any kind of incident that you might even be warned about, so that everyone can vote and go in quickly, cast their ballot, and be able to depart. That is what will make our election successful tomorrow. So I really want to underscore the extent of preparation and care and observation of how voting is going to work statewide, so that people have confidence that they can go in and exercise their franchise. I think the most important thing is to get out there and vote. And voters are going to determine the outcome of this election. Not people who try to use fear and vision to convince people not to exercise their rights.
Ben Wickler is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We're checking in with the Democratic and Republican Party chairs in our state just ahead of Election Day, taking your insights, your questions, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Steve in Madison now. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, we're curious from Mr. Winkler to know why Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have been almost entirely eliminated from the campaign endorsement process at this stage.
So we've had Elizabeth Warren was just here in Madison, did a drive-in rally, I believe, in Milwaukee as well a couple of weekends ago. Bernie Sanders has been stumping actively for Joe Biden. I think what's been so striking is how much every part of the Democratic Party and a ton of Republicans and folks who voted third party in 2016 across the ideological spectrum have come together out of recognition that the country cannot afford four more years of Donald Trump, and that it's time to put Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House. And to me, it is just essential that we come together to deal with this threat to our basic democracy and the soul of the nation, and to lift up in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris two people who are fundamentally decent, dedicated public servants who want to make things better for everyone. And that's something that, there's no stronger advocate for meeting this moment than Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and so many other people with different politics, including a slew of former Republicans and current Republicans who've endorsed the Biden-Harris ticket.
Ben, I want to look for a moment at state politics. Democrats have spent at least $2 million on six races for the state legislature. Will those efforts be able to fight back the Republicans' goal of getting a veto-proof majority?
Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald, the Republicans in our state legislature, as you say, have set their goal of getting supermajorities in the state assembly and state senate so that they could override the veto of Governor Evers, regerrymander our maps for another decade and lock in Republican control against the public's will. And we launched a Save the Veto program at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin in a partnership with Governor Evers and with the legislative caucuses early this year, specifically to stop them from doing that. I will go out on a limb now and I will predict they will not get supermajorities. I think that we have successfully supported extraordinary candidates running in districts across the state, Democrats who already hold office, Democrats running for seats where previous Democratic office holders are retiring. And now I think that we're in a position to potentially flip Republican seats to Democrats because people are so fed up with 6 months, almost 200 days, or more than 200 days at this point, 201 days since Republicans in our state legislature passed a single bill in the middle of this vast coronavirus crisis, the economic collapse that came with it, and the reckoning with racial justice. The Republicans have sat on their hands. They have not led, and voters are responding. And I think, we are turning the tables at this point. And the question will be, which seats we actually pick up.
Let's bring in Joshua from Watertown with thoughts on this election cycle. Hi, Joshua.
Hi, Kate. So I wanted to answer your question about what's turning us off, for my family and I, what's turning us off this year about the election. It's really just the ugliness of both sides. It's really just childish games. He did this, he did this, and it's just a blaming back and forth. And it really just turns us off to the whole electoral, process. The thing is, when Trump was elected, he blamed Obama for things that he couldn't do. And I think that if Joe Biden gets elected, all these promises that he's making, it's going to be the same thing. Well, I couldn't do this because Trump did this. I couldn't do this. And we're going to get another 4 years or 8 years, of blaming the past president for why you couldn't get stuff done. And I think that this year, I know that we need to vote, but I think that this year we're just going to hold back because it's really demoralizing to go and vote. And then this is a robbing Peter to pay Paul vote for us. This is how we think of it. I mean, whoever stays in office or gets in office, it's going to be empty promises. It's going to be promises from both sides, and nothing is going to get done. And we're going to be in this situation still. So,
Joshua, a very demoralized voter there, Ben. What would you say to that?
I hear the pain and the distrust in our caller's voice. And I know for a lot of people, that's been disillusioning. It has been, I think, provoking tremendous cynicism these last 4 years of broken promises. And frankly, there's a generations long set of crises that we're facing, where workers' wages haven't gone up in the way that they should, given how hard Americans are working. The crisis of climate change, the fact that it's so hard to get childcare for working parents. Those problems are real, and we have a lot of work to do to change them. I think that the thing that I would ask is, do you think things are more likely to get better or worse if we stick with the guy we've got, or if we ask Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to take a turn at the wheel? I know that Joe Biden led the recovery from the economic collapse in 2008, and here we have another collapse that this president is failing to lead us out of. Joe Biden oversaw response to a pandemic that was brought under control and you know, it barely registers in people's memory from when he was vice president. Now we have this massive coronavirus pandemic that the Trump's White House is saying they're not even going to try to control, and that Trump is essentially ignoring. We can do better than this. It doesn't have to be this bad. Change won't happen overnight. I'm not going to blow any smoke. But the hard work of building change over time, that's possible when you have a president who's actually working to move things in the right direction instead of the wrong one. And that's why we need to elect Biden and Harris.
Ben, thank you for joining us.
Really, really appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Andrew Hitt. How do you feel about the Republican Party's energy now and ability to court voters in this election? What do you want to ask the Republican Party chair? It's 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Andrew Hitt right after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, the day before Election Day, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour with the chairs of the parties in Wisconsin. They each get a half. Now we turn to Republicans. We learned in recent days that the Republican Party of Wisconsin has been the victim of a phishing attack to its accounting infrastructure, hackers stealing $2.3 million. And it comes amid fears of foreign cyber attacks meant to disrupt tomorrow's election. What questions do you have about how campaigns operate? What has been effective? Are you active in local party politics? What would you like to share with the Republican chair? We're at 800-642-1234. Andrew Hitt is the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Andrew, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be with you, Kate.
Well, first, can you bring us up to speed on what you know about the hack and how it has affected your work?
Sure. Yeah, really unfortunate situation. We have been, seen an increase in cyber activity, increase in phishing attacks over the course of this cycle. Unfortunately, one of them got through and caused some significant issues with us. We continue to work with the FBI, continue to go back and forth with them as they work on this case. I know they're working diligently on it, and we are grateful for that and hopeful that we can recover at least some of those dollars.
What do you tell party donors about this incident?
Well, there's lots of different areas or buckets, if you will, of dollars in the state parties. And so this is one bucket. We've got lots of different ones. This is in our federal account. So we are continuing to work with the RNC, the and folks there in order to kind of analyze and handle this situation. We'll continue to do that, continue to work with the FEC and make sure everything that we do surrounding this situation is handled according to the law.
What has been your message to voters in these final hours, last couple days on the campaign, and in this very last day?
Yeah, we're really trying to stress that if you want to get back to normal, get your normal life back, if you want to ensure that you have opportunity and a job for you and your family, if you want to ensure that you have a safe community, then vote Republican, vote Donald Trump on November 3rd. The president has worked to safely and effectively get a vaccine in place. He and his administration have worked to make sure therapeutics are in place. As we see the growing outbreak across Europe, we know that this virus is difficult. It is hard to contain. It is the virus, and the only way that we're really going to get this under control is through a vaccine, through therapeutics. We really need to focus on both sides of the equation. We need to focus on public health. We need to focus on the economy. If we focus on locking down, shutting down our economy, it has a dramatically negative effect. We lost 22 million jobs. Of course, half of those are back. 264, I think, 1,000 jobs came back to Wisconsin since April. Joe Biden is saying he's going to raise taxes. That's not what we need right now. We don't need the Green New Deal. What we need is to take advantage of the USMCA. We need to make sure that our communities are safe and that people can really feel at home in their community. So that's our closing message to the electorate here in Wisconsin.
You know, we've seen election procedure waffle being litigated in the courts over the past few months, almost like ping pong. What support is the Republican Party making available to voters who need accurate information about casting their ballot?
Well, we saw that in April 7th election, how voters were so confused. There was even a newspaper that published that the election was canceled and wasn't able to correct it. As you know, Governor Evers canceled the election through executive order, something he said for weeks he didn't have the power to do. We need to avoid that type of confusion again. We are trying to regularly communicate with folks. We're trying to regularly talk on shows like this to alleviate or explain different situations. We regularly communicate with our county chairs in the Republican Party to make sure they're getting the correct information out to voters in their counties.
I want to ask you about the tactics of the Trump train. You know, as we saw the Trump train in Central Texas, the incident late last week with the Biden-Harris campaign bus, slowing it down, allegedly attempting to move it off the road. How do you feel about that?
Well, truthfully, I haven't followed that situation very closely. I'm pretty focused here on Wisconsin. You know, I have been on a bus tour here in Wisconsin. We, of course, want to make sure that everybody is able to exercise their rights. I don't know the real details of what happened down there, but we need to really focus on getting our ideas across, making sure we can get our ideas across to people, to voters, so that they can make a good choice on November 3rd.
Andrew Hitt is chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. We're checking in with Republican and Democratic Party chairs in our state ahead of Election Day, taking your questions and your insights, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mary now in Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say that to me, the last 4 years have shown an autocratic regime, and this president does whatever he wants to do as far as, and says it. He says it to people. He could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue in New York City and nothing would happen to him, and he has dodged every bullet so far. I'm sure we'll find a lot more corruption when he's out, and I certainly hope he is voted out. I voted blue straight ticket, 3 weeks ago. What is your opinion on this type of government and why we should actually get rid of it?
Andrew, go ahead.
Well, look, the president has been one of the most effective and accomplished presidents in history. He has renegotiated a trade deal with NAFTA, a job-killing policy for Wisconsinites. He renegotiated that, passed the USMCA, opened up new markets to farmers, brought back manufacturing jobs that President Obama said was dead and gone and couldn't come back. He didn't have a magic wand. This president has put forward judicial appointments that believe in the rule of law and won't legislate from the bench. And lastly, I would just say, going into 2016 election and in the wake of it, everybody said that there was a dangerous time ahead for Americans in foreign policy. That couldn't be more false. The president has brought troops home. He has not started conflicts. He has negotiated peace deals across the Middle East. It is truly amazing to see these peace deals being negotiated and come to fruition. The president, no doubt, he has a different style. He is a New Yorker through and through. It is not Midwest nice. Never said it was. But this president is somebody who has made promises, and he has kept those promises, and he has exceeded on those promises, including things like lowering the cost of prescription drugs. That is something that Democrats have worked at and tried to do. This president actually did it by through reimportation plans, through making sure that no longer Americans pay high costs, so other countries pay low costs.
Let's bring in Nate in Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Nate.
Hi, thank you for having me. And actually, my question relates to the promise the president made to, quote, drain the swamp, where I feel if anything, he has done the opposite. And let me just point out that he has recently tried to return to things like the spoiled system. If you go to votesmart.org, which looks at people's actions and positions, they don't know what he has to say about campaign finance reform because he doesn't ever fight for it. And the Republican Party has been largely enablers. Ron Johnson and Joni Ernst tried to defend him in the U.S. Senate and even said that Biden should be impeached if you go to the latter U.S. Republican senator. And they certainly approved some of his appointees that turned out to be corrupt, such as to the EPA. So how would the Republican Party actually attempt to deal with corruption seriously when it looks like they are doing the opposite?
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, in terms of draining the swamp, this president has actually cut more regulation than probably any president ever has. For every one regulation brought in, something like 20-some regulations have been eliminated, even greater than what the president had promised. I think he said he'd get rid of a few regulations for every one created. Getting rid of regulation, getting rid of overburdensome regulation, I should say, getting rid of that bureaucratic state is how you drain the swamp. And it is going to take a long time because the federal government has grown so bloated. But with campaign finance, I mean, it's an interesting thing for you to bring up because so much money has poured in to Democrat candidates and Democrat parties. Look no further than the state of Wisconsin, who received the Democrat Party of Wisconsin, who received $2.5 million from the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker. I really have to wonder, speaking of corruption, why would the Illinois governor be donating such massive amounts of personal money to Wisconsin candidates?
And we're almost out of
time. We make decisions on air and water issues with Illinois.
We're almost out of time, but I want to really, in the few seconds left, what message will you share with Wisconsinites when the president has incorrectly claimed absentee voting leads to fraud? Are you still there?
Yeah, for now. Yes.
Yeah. Very quickly, what can you tell us about absentee voting when the president said it leads to fraud?
Well, that's just not correct. In fact, many times in Wisconsin, even, he has said absentee voting in Wisconsin is good. The president is talking about his states that develop new policies, new procedures regarding absentee, regarding all-mail voting that they've never had before. Changing the laws on the eve of an election is not something that we want to do.
And we're going to pause there. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Former Governor Scott Walker told Fox News Friday that President Trump has a fighting chance to pull off a surprise victory, especially as he courts blue-collar voters and manufacturing hubs.
It's industrial mid-sized cities like Green Bay, like Sheboygan, like Manitowoc, like Janesville, Racine, Kenosha, the whole list of cities that the president's been to or will be between now and Election Day. That's a smart move from his standpoint.
What do you think of the Republican campaign strategy in our swing state? Join in 800-642-1234. Andrew Hitt stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's go back to the phones now. Rick is with us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rick.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to make one comment and then a question. The caller, or rather your guest, has talked about how corrupt the Democrats are. I'd like to point out that two high-level members of the Trump campaign are convicted felons, which is Paul Manafort, Roger Stone. I'd also like to point out that President Trump would have been indicted and prosecuted for campaign violations were he not the president of the United States, and he was named as individual one for crimes that that Cohen, his attorney, is now serving time for. So it just isn't a credible argument to say that there is not a corruption problem with the president. And the idea that draining the swamp means getting rid of protections for clean water and clean air and polluters in the manufacturing sector or extractive sector is just, it's risible. But on to my question. My question is, why is it that the Republican Party continues to try and disenfranchise voters as opposed to try and bring more voters to the polls? Every bit of litigation that they press through the courts is to try and limit access to voters to voting. And a good example, just recently down in Texas, drive-in voting in the midst of a pandemic is being challenged by the Republicans, not because they maintain there's fraud, simply because they don't want people to vote. Why is it that the Republican Party does not try to get increased democracy and rather tries to limit democracy so as to have minority rule?
Andrew, what about voter suppression?
Well, Rick, I want to get to that question very quickly, but let me just suggest that you Google Hunter Biden if you want to look up Democrat corruption. Google Hunter Biden. Now on to the question on voter suppression. It's interesting that you would say that because the Republican Party of Wisconsin actually for the first time ever opened up an office for the first time ever in the central city of Wisconsin. We are organizing in the Black and the Hispanic community. We are recruiting candidates in those communities. We are having events in those communities. We have our own radio show on Black Radio on WNOV 60 minutes a week now talking about issues that are meaningful, talk about beliefs that are important to the Republican Party, but that can be shared and are shared actually by the Black and the Hispanic community. And we've got some great things to talk about now. I mean, we have accomplishments of this president in the First Step Act. Democrats wanted to do criminal justice reform for years, but couldn't get it done. This president did criminal justice reform, the biggest, most significant reform in decades, as opposed to Joe Biden, who put forth the 1994 crime bill that really put Black and Hispanic individuals in prison and really in situations that didn't warrant it. The president also put forward opportunity zones, bringing impoverished areas dollars in order to build them up again. And then lastly, he's increased funding for historically Black colleges and universities, something that is incredibly important to the Black community. And this president has done it before. The colleges had to come to the White House every year and ask for funding. This president actually put them on a 10-year plan so they don't have to come to the White House every year and essentially beg for dollars. The lawsuits that you were talking about actually – seven lawsuits were brought in the run-up to April 7th election by left-leaning groups and Democrats. Those lawsuits tried to get rid of our laws that are in place, like proof of residency. Why would you try to get rid of proof of residency? We have only tried to make sure that the laws are followed, that they're not changed at the last minute. This country has decades-old precedent that says you do not change the laws on the eve of an election. It leads to chaos. It leads to confusion.
Talking with Andrew Hitt, chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, as we check in with Republican and Democratic Party chairs in our state ahead of Election Day. I want to turn to COVID, Andrew. The president visited Wisconsin, said we were turning the corner, and that is untrue here in our state. As you know, we had more than 5,000 new cases Saturday, another almost 3,500 cases on Sunday. We're one of the, you know, highest surges in the country. Are presidential visits and the president's messaging on the virus discouraging people to take personal responsibility?
Well, I think as we look at what's happening in Wisconsin, we also see what's happening across Europe. And those cases, I think Europe's at 195,000 cases per day now that is occurring. They are locking down again. This is, in part, the cycle of this virus. Certainly, you can't blame Europe's increase in cases on President Trump visiting Wisconsin. I think what the president means in terms of turning the corner, it's a little bit of context and a little bit of how you look at things. If you consider where we were back in March, when we really had no idea where this was going, where there was hospitals overfilled in New York and California, and actually those governors praising the president's response. If
you and go now back you and have look, hospitals at the brink here in Wisconsin.
And that's why it's so good that we have therapeutics, that we have a vaccine coming, that we have medical professionals that have actually now had the time to work with this virus, figured out how to treat it. Early on, we were putting people on ventilators. Turns out that wasn't actually a good idea. Our medical professionals have learned from the virus, have learned over time. That's what I think the president means when we're turning the corner. We're starting to get a handle on what this means. That means, though, that with cases increasing, we need a vaccine all the more quicker. We need a safe and effective vaccine. We need to make sure therapeutics are out there and accessible to everybody.
Let's bring in Brian now in Sherwood. Hi, Brian.
Hi there. Hey, Andrew, I'm a lifelong Republican, having voted for Gerald Ford in 1976. Here's my question. Why would we want to give a leader another 4 years when we have 4% of the world's population, yet we have 20% of the world's deaths? How do you reconcile that failure of leadership?
If it wasn't for the president's quick action, shutting down travel from China, shutting down travel for Europe, it would be much worse here in the United States, because we wouldn't have had time to get ahead of it. We wouldn't have had time to manage it and do that initial flattening of the curve. Those actions that the president took quickly were actually criticized by Democrats. Nancy Pelosi went to Chinatown. People called him xenophobic, called him racist, when we know that that saved potentially millions of lives here in the United States.
Let's bring in Kyle in Menominee. Kyle, hi.
Hi. I guess my question is related to more the state level. With the state level, I mean, Evers has tried to put a number of things in place, and the Republicans have consistently taken him to court and tried to undo anything that he's done, while at the same time never meeting in the Senate or Assembly to try and do anything. Why should we consider supporting state representatives in the Republican Party when they've decided to basically put their hands in their pockets and say, we're going to let it run its course and we're going to figure it out? You know, we're just going to let it run its course and see what happens.
Go ahead, Andrew.
So, you know, I think it's important to remember that there is a two-way communication here that needs to be taking place. And at several instances, the governor has just refused to communicate. But let's just take a step back and look at what the different roles are and what the different needs are. The federal government, a bipartisan Congress, the president of the United States, delivered resources and support to the states. They delivered the Paycheck Protection Program that delivered $9 billion to 85,000 businesses in Wisconsin and saved a million jobs. They delivered PPE, making sure that our hospitals had the resources they need to stay safe in order to do this.
And we're really short on time.
They delivered over $2 billion in the CARES Act that went to long-term care hospitals.
And should that suffice?
The federal government brought this in place, and the governor had absolute power to execute on that, and that's what needs to occur.
Andrew Hitt is chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and this is the Ideas Network.